The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Hello, everyone. Rona Glickman.
Brian Safi.
Here, and have we got an announcement. You asked, we're answering again. This is a recurring theme.
No
Brian.
Kidding.
We're
listening
to people what they want. Mark it on your calendar. It is the second annual Throwing Shaska Ask Rona crossover with all your favorites. And start writing to us now. Send us your letters. What are your predictions? What are your questions? You know, we always have the best experts that money can't buy.
That's true. Our special guests are always extremely qualified people.
And let us know how you're feeling about the nomination.
We'll be singing some of the songs.
We certainly will.
We'll be talking about who will and or should win.
Well, certainly we will be doing all of those things.
Rona, who are you rooting for?
I'm not going to tell you.
But I'm an audience too.
The other thing, very important, start watching those Oscar movies now so
True.
You know that what we're talking
True.
About. Because there's nothing worse than an uninformed listener.
Save Cats the movie for later.
Brian.
Rona.
How are you, dear?
I'm good. It is very cold here, and there's not a lot to do outside.
Well, I've got bad news. Well, maybe that's good. I don't know. So I'm a little bit all over the place right now because I had a big ski trip planned.
Really?
Jordan and I.
What are the ski slopes around here?
Oh, we're not going around. We're not going around here.
Why? What's wrong
with
it?
I mean, you could. A person could, but that's not the sort of trip we were planning.
Well, why wouldn't they?
Well, no, of course. When Jordan was growing up, we would go to Loon, and we would go to Waterville Valley, and we would go to Sugar Bush, and we would go to Sugar Loaf, and we would,
what?
You know, we'd go to all of them, okay?
Oh, wow.
We went to Okemo once, but just once.
Okemo. It was just Okemo?
It was just Okemo.
Okay.
Okemo was just Okemo.
Fair enough.
It's cute, though, Okemo.
It sounds cute.
We had a very cute ski-in, ski-out condo.
Oh, that's nice.
But Jordan's a fabulous
skier.
Wait,
you could ski in the condo?
No, you ski... Come on. You know, I know you've been skiing, so I don't want to hear
But I've never done a ski and ski out.
Ski and ski out means your condo is right on the mountain.
Oh.
And so you put on your skis in the morning, you ski down to the lift, you take the lift up, you do your whole day.
Oh, I've never
done that.
When
you come home, you ski back into the condo.
Oh my God, that sounds so, because I'm used to lugging all that equipment.
And in fact,
yeah,
because we love a ski in, ski out so much. We had planned, we haven't done a mommy and Jordan ski trip in a long time.
She does not still call you that.
No, but you know.
Yeah, mom, well, a mom's a mom.
Just referring to it.
Yeah,
mommy
that's cute.
And Jordan,
that's
yeah.
cute. Do you guys wear matching outfits?
Occasionally.
That's great.
Not entire outfits, but pieces. But Jordan really expresses himself through his wardrobe, so I don't like him to feel limited.
Oh, yeah.
It's only if he says, Ma, I got you these gloves and I got myself a pair, too.
Right.
Or, Ma, I got you this scarf, I got myself one, too.
Yeah.
You know, that sort of thing.
I picture him in like a Dr. Zhivago sort of like big bonnet.
Nanook of the North.
Yeah.
More of a Nanook of the North look. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he doesn't do fur anymore.
That's good. That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He did fur. He used to like a fur trim because, I mean, obviously when it's very cold, you want a little fur.
Sure.
But he doesn't do fur anymore.
Smart.
He's very political.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Taking a stand.
Yeah. Very political.
Fresh take.
So we had planned a trip together. We were going to go to Aspen together.
Now, very nice.
Yeah. And... I was very excited. And
it sounds wonderful.
Yeah, but now it feels like Jordan's not going to be able to make it. So I have to decide whether I'm going to still take the trip or maybe I'll bring
Elaine
or what I'm going to do.
No, I can go. I would love to go. And honestly, I don't mean to be rude, but I sort of feel like Elaine gets to do all the fun stuff.
Yeah. Oh.
And I just...
Oh.
Like, you have the parties and Elaine goes, you know, or she has the parties and you go to New York and you, I never really get to go to New York, or I do, but then I have to go, you know, stay
you
at
feel,
the
now
West.
Now, this is interesting. Are you starting to rethink our arrangement, Brian? Are you not enjoying coming here and doing the podcast anymore?
I love coming here and doing
I'm
the
podcast. I'm getting the feeling I'm you feel saying, like you're a worker bee and that Elaine's a queen
not
bee.
At all. I just feel like I am an associate of Rana's, but I'm not a friend of Rana's.
Really?
I would like, and what my hope, my one of my resolutions for 2020 that I wrote down was to hang out with Rana more. And that wasn't sans microphones.
It is true. I will say this. It is true. I would say mostly owing to your schedule. Because when you come for about 10 minutes. And yeah, so we don't really get a chance to do a dinner the night before.
No, that's true.
Or a brunch the morning after.
I wish I could come the day before, but I have to quit the other stuff.
Well, you all that work in 911. Quit all that other stuff. It'd be that very, pays you.
It'd be very difficult.
That makes you a star. I mean, you can't. You have a burgeoning career.
Well, listen.
Your career is exploding right now.
You're very. That's
Let's just be honest.
Way too kind. But can
the
I
fact
be honest
that you
about
are
something?
Still finding time to come to Marvel. I mean,
it's
I'm not
my pure. It's
I'm
pure
not surprised.
Joy
I'm not surprised because
right.
of course we love it.
Well,
it's
listen.
Me. But you're right. We're not. We have not been socializing like we used to.
So what I was going to suggest is you could fly into Burbank and we could drive up to Big Bear. But this sounds
no. That's not. I mean, no.
You've probably
just
never been.
Simply
Big Bear's
enough.
Right up the mountain.
I have never been to Big Bear.
It's an hour and a half out of LA.
I was in Lake Arrowhead once. Is that the
same
thing?
Thing?
Yeah. So, no.
Okay.
That's a no.
All right.
But that's fine, Brett. You do Big Bear on your own time or with your guy friends or your Palm Springs crew or whoever, you know, you want to do Big Bear with.
Okay.
But we're going to do Aspen.
You and I?
Rana? I'm doing Aspen, and I think we should do it together.
Rana, I was just bathed in relief, excitement, joy, sorrow, because it's one of those things where I already feel like it's over.
Yeah.
I cannot believe you're inviting me to Aspen.
We're
going to
go to Aspen. Well, you invited yourself.
I know, but still, that you accepted.
I mean, you invited
you
yourself.
Accepted my invitation.
I think we should go to Aspen. And I mean, look, maybe 911's going to get in the way. I don't know. Maybe you're going to leave me high and dry on the slopes.
Oh, I doubt it. I doubt it.
I
no.
hope not.
No, I doubt it.
We'll try and plan it over a weekend
great.
So that you can make it. But let's go to Aspen, don't you think?
That would be great.
Haven't we earned it? We have worked so hard on this podcast the last couple of months.
You know what? I would love to
don't
take
Don't we
a
need a break?
Yes, and I would.
A
I haven't
mini
been
break.
Skiing in so long, and we could stay at a... I don't know. I have... I'm a Star... No, well, now it's they've all merged, but I have...
Bonvoy.
I'm a Bonvoy.
A Marriott Bonvoy.
Yeah.
Well, we probably won't stay at
points.
A Marriott Bonvoy property, but we'll look into it.
Okay.
I'm thinking the Little Nell.
Who's that?
That's a one
based on the
boutique,
character
boutique. Yeah, based on this on the deaf dumb character played by Jodie Foster in 1998 or whenever that movie came out.
What's the Little Nell?
The Little Nell is a boutique hotel in Aspen.
Oh.
But I have a couple of friends that have some property in Aspen, so we might. Jordan and I had initially planned on doing a ski in ski out.
Right.
In Aspen.
Right.
And so, you know, I'll take a look at it, but we might be able
I'm
to keep.
I'm fine sharing a room.
We might. With who?
You.
Brian. It's,
I'm not going to hit on you.
I mean, okay. You know what?
No, I'm sorry.
You know what?
But it's true. I've slept with.
So should I be insulted or should I be relieved?
Relieved. No, listen, because I'm just saying. Like,
oh, you couldn't imagine. If you were going to hit on any woman, it wouldn't be an older woman. Is that
I'm
what you're saying?
I'm just saying that if to keep. Yeah, you're right. I probably. No, listen. You know that I'm in love with you.
Well,
I would just say this.
We don't have to worry about that.
To keep your costs down,
okay.
I am happy
oh,
to
my
share
costs, because I'm springing for the whole trip.
Weren't you going to share a room with Jordan?
No, of course
well, who
not.
Was going to pay for his room?
Me, of course.
So then this is six of one, half a dozen of the other.
So you're just sliding into Jordan's reservation. Is that what you're saying?
Only if it's convenient.
I see. So let me just make sure I have the parameters straight. You are happy to replace Jordan on this trip.
In
at
any
no
other area.
At no cost to yourself.
If it's convenient for you.
I understand.
Because you probably did a non-refundable.
No. What a non-refundable? Come on. Non-refundable.
Well, listen, I'm willing to pay.
I like this idea. No, you're not. I like not. Look, the truth, it's like whenever we travel together. Mm-hmm. If we want to go my way, mm-hmm. I have to supplement the trip to some extent.
Right.
But that's fine because I want to go my way.
Okay.
I don't mind that.
All right.
Yeah.
And I'm, listen.
So you'll buy your own plane ticket.
Yeah.
And then maybe you'll buy a couple of dinners.
Sure, absolutely.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
Okay, let me get into the planning of this.
Okay.
Let me see if I can make this happen
to you. I would absolutely, Rana, like, Where do I get my ski apparel?
Oh, that's a terrific question.
Where do I, LL Bean?
You don't have any?
I mean, the last time I would say,
what did you use
my parents
to wear
have
back
it at home.
Yeah.
It was like all Patagonia.
Yeah.
It was like that
nothing
sort of
wrong
thing.
With that.
No, it was great, reliable yeah. brand.
Yeah.
And it was, oh God, I'm not even kidding. The coat, the yeah. main, okay, the ski pants were black.
Yeah. Purple and green.
And, yeah.
Purple and green.
How did you? Purple, I'm not, by the way, this is no, I'm not even making this up.
Because that's one of their colorways, purple with a green lining.
This
am I right?
was my ski jacket.
Yep. And it had
I
the,
truly,
it's called
I'm
the,
not even
I
kidding.
I believe it's called the Patagonia Guide Jacket. And does it cinch in at the waist a little bit?
Yes.
Yeah. And
my parents made me
pockets.
Wear it when I was home because I was home for Thanksgiving and it got cold. And
they
were like,
made you. Were they just pulled it out of a closet?
It
somewhere?
Was one of those things where we were like, I was going to drive to the gym. And they were like, oh, well, it's so cold outside. I was like, I know, but I'm literally just going to the garage, getting in the car, and then getting it out at the gym. It's fine. And they were like, no. It started bringing down about 15 coats for me to try on. And I ended up trying on
I'm surprised
on that
your father allowed you to keep a purple coat.
Well, it was
after
mostly.
The purple,
because
after
it was
the purple
mostly,
incident.
I know. It was mostly black.
The coat?
Yes, mostly.
Purple and green and black?
Yes, accents of the purple and green, but
I see.
Mostly black.
Oh, black with purple and green.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, I see. A yeah. parka. It was a parka.
I well, no, but is the parka pullover because it like zips up?
No.
Okay.
Interesting.
God. You know what? It's still in perfect condition.
Terrific.
I'm going to bring it on the trip.
I think it
and
sounds
I still
wonderful.
Have my ski pants.
We'll get you a purple scarf to match it, and you can take a picture and send it to your father with your middle finger up.
The only thing
how
I need,
sound?
Fabulous. The only thing I need is goggles.
And also the Alexander Wang long underwear.
I'll get your helmet.
No, you're not buying my helmet.
I'm
absolutely
happy to.
Not. No, because I know how that works. You say you're willing to buy it, and then we'll get there, and you'll say, oh, is this one good enough?
Yeah.
And then you'll put me in the position where I have to say yes, because I don't want to make you feel badly about the fact that I want the helmet that's $200 more than the one that you want to buy for me. And then I have to feel badly about the one you're paying for, and on and on and on. And
okay.
I will get my own things. But I will say this. When I was doing my Ronica shopping,
uh-huh.
there was a gorgeous pair of Chloe ski goggles.
Wow.
And I don't normally go for Chloe.
Yeah.
And I think I'm going to go for her in this instance.
Wow.
Yeah. They weren't too bad either.
Do they still make Oakleys?
Oh, I'm certain they do.
That's what I had.
But that has nothing to do with me. Yeah.
Okay. Well, Rana, I'm very excited for this trip.
As long as they're polarized. Are they polarized?
They are polarized.
Very important polarization.
Yeah. I never know why. I just know that you have to get it.
It cuts out the extra glare and it makes everything much clearer.
Okay.
And especially when you're in a whitewash like that, you know, when you have the white bounce off the mountain, the polarization is incredibly important. But that's why I wear Pearsoles when I ski.
What's that?
Pearsole, come on. You don't know what a Pearsole is?
I guess I don't.
Are you serious?
Pearsol?
Yes.
I think I've heard of it.
You need a pair of Pearsoles.
Okay.
Immediately. That should be your sunglass of choice. It is a total classic Italian vintage wonderful look.
Okay.
It is. There's the Ray-Ban would be the American version. The Wayfarer would be the American version.
I've had
of
a pair
Pearsole.
Of those before.
The Pearsole is the Italian version.
Wow.
And it's going to look great with all your Izods that you wear.
I have another question.
Are they Izods or are they Lacoste?
No, they're Lacoste. Wow, that's funny to you.
Oh, you were so insulted.
I have another. Fabulous. I have another. No, only because.
Hysterical.
I have another question for you, though. I don't. Do you wear a bib?
A what?
My parents used to make me.
A ski bib?
Yeah.
Why, so they could find you?
I don't know. They just made me.
What do you mean a bib? Over your jacket?
Under.
A bib? Oh, you mean bib overalls?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I mean, that's a version of a ski pant.
Yeah.
Sure, if you don't want to get any snow in your drawers, you could wear a bib.
All right, I was just curious.
But more importantly, we should have done the Alexander Wang long underwear as
here,
I give
well,
away
I'll get
today.
It. You can give them right away to me.
That could have been our giveaway. And instead, for our giveaway today, we're doing that hand cream.
Which is still very nice. You need it in the winter.
I know, but maybe we won't. We'll think of it. When we get to the giveaway, we'll make a game time
Do you
decision.
Wear an SPF on the snow?
Of course.
Yeah.
It's much worse in the snow than it is even at the beach. Again,
of the
because
reflection.
You have the bounce. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
I wear about 100 SPF when I do an SPF skiing.
Well, I can't.
All right, we're going to stop planning our trip.
Wait.
We're going to have to stop making... You're going to be in charge of making some of the dinner reservations.
You got it.
So that we have a... We need an après-ski and a dinner reservation every night.
Done.
just banged my mouth on the microphone. I apologize.
Well, out of excitement.
I guess it was.
I'm so excited.
All right. Let me see what I can figure out. We'll, okay. We'll talk about it.
Great.
It's in the works.
I'll come up with a game
this
plan.
This is a strong maybe.
Should
we get to our guests? Because this feels like a strong
maybe. I don't even care about our guests anymore, but yeah, let's get to
it. Okay. We should answer some questions. Attention Carriage House members, Rana here to tell you all about Anchor.fm. Anchor is the fabulous app that we use to create our podcast. And let me tell you something, you can use it to create a podcast of your own. It's totally free. They have these terrific creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer, if you're that sort of person. I have a staff, excuse me. And now you can even add any song from Spotify directly to your episodes, which is pretty fabulous. The possibilities are totally endless. So download the free Anchor app now or go to anchor.fm to get started today. Kiss, kiss.
Rana.
Who's in the carriage house today?
Today,
someone fabulous.
Someone from, were you a Buffy?
Was I a Buffy?
Yeah.
Jordan and I watched all of Buffy together.
Yeah. Well, so you know this guy from
I know
Buffy.
I know the whole thing.
You know him?
He was fabulous on Buffy.
You know him from his...
Fabulous. I liked him better than Angel. What do you think of that? On Buffy.
But I'll be honest with you.
I don't mean the show Angel. I mean on Angel. On Buffy.
On Buffy, you liked him better
Angel
than Angel.
Because Angel was a spinoff of Buffy.
Sure.
I liked him better than Angel.
It's hard not to like this guy. Yeah. And I'll tell you something else. If you're not following him on
so
Instagram,
cute.
This Tommy Link.
Wait a minute.
This is what I have to say to you.
He is so creative.
Trash into treasure.
Yeah.
He's the one who like sees what Sarah Jessica Parker wears.
And makes it out of a garbage bag.
Exactly.
Just kidding.
Tom Link is here in Marblehead.
Tommy.
Thanks for having me.
Oh,
I'm so happy to be
voice.
Here.
Just you're the elf on the shelf. He's the elf on the shelf.
You oh, really wow.
Are. They I could do a new update of the movie Elf, and you would
I have
the
technically
elf.
Been mistaken for Kermit the Elf.
Who's Kermit the Elf?
No, Hermie the Elf from that Rudolph. He was the elf that just wanted to be a dentist. And I remember being at a Hollywood party and someone saying, oh, didn't I just see you in a movie recently? And
no.
I said, well, yeah, maybe Transformers or something. Like,
sure.
No. It was a Christmas movie. Oh, yeah, you were that elf who wants to be a dentist. And I'm like,
made of claymation?
Yeah. I'm yeah, like, that's not a real human.
That's what I thought. This was like
they accused you of being a stop motion elf.
Yes, yeah. This is true. This really did happen.
But well, that means you have flawless skin.
Meaning in the, or felty skin.
Or
as
felt
the case
soft,
may be.
Peachy.
Wait a minute.
Skin.
Those were the movies with Rudolph and the Abominable
yeah.
Snowman.
I think
and
they
and
were maybe on drugs and kind of confused.
Yeah it was
movies in their
definitely
head.
Definitely like a take on a Sid and Marty Krofft sort of thing. But not exactly.
Oh, Christian yeah. E. Croft.
A Christian E. Croft.
Yeah, I would have taken it as a compliment either way.
What are you doing in the Northeast? Where were you?
I'm down in Hartford.
Oh.
Visiting my friends at Hartford.
The insurance capital of the world.
Insurance capital, yes.
Yeah.
I'm visiting my friends there at Theater Works. They do a yearly...
Did you work there?
I did a show. I did Buyer and Seller there. It was,
oh, you did?
It's that play about Barbara Streisand.
Barbara's Basement.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, of course. Who wrote that?
Jonathan
Shirley
Collins.
Shirley MacLaine? Oh, yeah. That's who it was.
I think he lives here. I think he lives here nearby, close to you.
Near Mablet?
I think so.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I know him. Did he get into the mall?
The mall?
Under Barbara's house.
Oh, yeah.
Did she ever invite anyone there?
No, it's a fictionalized thing based on him having read her book that she published about the designing of her home
yes,
in Malibu.
Yes, of course, I've
which
seen
is,
that book. Yeah.
Have you read it?
I've not read it. I've seen the cover.
It's unintentionally hilarious.
Really?
Yes.
Now I'll get it.
Oh, you have to. You have to get it on eBay.
It's out of print?
Yeah.
Does she know that?
You know who has a copy of it?
Who?
Tony at the Faze Place.
Does he really?
It's in the office there.
Oh, I'll check.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Brian and I, well, Brian goes to, sometimes goes to a place in California to get his skin done.
Now I go monthly because you told
when
me.
When I was in LA, or when I'm in LA, I always go to the Faze Place, everyone knows. And Brian has started going to the Faze Place.
That
as
is
well.
True.
So Tony is fabulous at the Faze Place.
Yeah.
He's got the book.
What? The book.
Yeah.
He's got the
it's like
book.
National,
the book.
National Treasure Book of Secrets.
Now, I've talked to a few people who have been around her or worked with her, and the imagined play version of her and the things that go on with her turns out are sort of
not far off.
Yeah.
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 Well, we've talked on this show about how she sends her assistant to Santa Barbara every day.
Every
to get
day.
One pint of Santa Barbara strawberry
because
ice
she
cream.
Doesn't want more than one pint in her fridge because she'll eat it. So this assistant has to drive from her home
no.
to Santa Barbara.
No.
Every
it's called she's got a there's a freezer down in the basement that she built. I'm sure she's got an extra freezer she could keep it.
No,
far away.
But she still knows where it is.
I understand this makes you both hysterical. But I have to say
you're not going to
if
defend
you've
her.
Ever had the Santa Barbara strawberry
I
from
haven't.
McConnell's. The best place to get it is from Mission Ice Cream. That was the original place that carried McConnell's, and then they opened their own too on State or wherever it was in Santa Barbara.
Yeah.
It's so fresh. I mean, you really want it fresh. You really want it freshly packed. And the ingredients are so fresh that when you freeze it, it really doesn't keep as well because the milk solids
it's just
separate
when you start with this talk.
Separate. From the ice cream.
Uh-huh.
And if you really want to enjoy it, you either have to go to Santa Barbara. There's a reason they don't ship the strawberry.
They ship don't
a lot
ship
of the
strawberry?
Other, they ship the other flavors. They don't ship the strawberry. And the reason is it is best enjoyed fresh.
Does Hartford have an ice cream
Barbara and
flavor?
I,
well, you know, the theme of Hartford is...
Must. New England is the ice cream capital.
It is. Other theme is Hartford has it.
That's their slogan?
Yes. It's on flags and banners all over
is
town.
It in
that
quotes?
Sounds out of like Waiting for Guffman.
I'm not sure what it is.
Is it in quotes?
It's the whole thing is in quotes. Hartford has
okay,
it.
Is Valerie Cherish's character from I'm It? The woman on the poster?
I don't think the word it is in quotes, but it should be because I never figured it out while I was there. But there's an enjoyable theater.
Is it the birthplace of Pennywise?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Pennywise the clown?
The clown?
Yeah.
No, he's from Maine.
Oh.
Yeah.
But they've got good theater.
He could have been born in Hartford. He might have come to Maine with the traveling circus.
Oh,
that might have been how he arrived. Yeah.
I see. Yeah. Well, there we
I've
go.
I've seen that, too.
Did you audition for It?
I did.
So did I.
For that movie.
You
and
did?
I was,
yes.
As what?
Pennywise.
No.
They were. I'm not kidding.
You're full
I still
of it.
Have the audition
no.
on Vimeo.
What are you
No, I thought you meant
because
you auditioned
about.
For the gay part in it.
No, I auditioned for Pennywise.
What?
I have my audition on tape. That I've never released. And actually, it was a scene they ended up deleting
until
was one of the ones
week,
I had to read.
You no, never, okay. you never
oh, I can't,
released
it,
until
it was,
this week.
It's probably my deepest, darkest
Oh, we're
secret.
Releasing it.
Yeah.
Ask Rana at gmail.com.
I had to eat a colonial woman's baby. And they ended up cutting that scene from the movie because it was too dark.
Ask Rana Instagram. We're going to put 30 seconds of Brian's It audition
oh
up.
My God. Can I be honest with you? I thought I was pretty good, but I haven't ever watched it back.
So just in the moment,
no. Everyone's looking at me like there's.
Can you give
Tom
us?
Link
do you remember a line?
His face.
Can you give us a line? Do you remember
I
being
God, no,
growling
was years ago.
And being terrifying? What was your
I didn't,
Pennywise
no,
voice?
No, I didn't do it.
Oh,
like,
you didn't do a voice.
I did,
it was
but
just
I didn't. I didn't do it like Rumpelstiltskin.
Get over here! I'm going to eat your brains out. What did you? What was?
Hey,
you?
This is just as nerve wracking for me as it is for you. Look, you want a balloon? No, I'm not doing it. I don't remember how I did this.
Okay, well, I had an audition for one of the parts in that movie.
Okay,
and the audition was just getting murdered. No, I had to watch.
That is so awkward.
I had to watch my boyfriend getting murdered, and so I had to in the audition room. I had to lay on the floor on their carpet, my face to the floor because my face is being held by someone's foot.
Yeah,
and I had to scream and cry.
Why do they make
the
you
floor?
Do
that? It's like, no one, who can do this? No one can make this believable until there's someone with
and
their
And who
foot.
Got the part? Jessica Chastain?
I went, it was an offer was made. But why do they?
Why do they put us? Yeah.
I don't know. Jessica Chastain.
But by the way, you're in everything. How many Transformers checks do you get a week? That's what I want
oh.
to know.
Oh, God.
I don't even want to think about
I
it.
I wish more than one every. Like,
enough to buy a house, though.
One a quarter.
Yeah.
Well, that's just because they aggregate them. No, because
oh,
they couldn't
they collect,
come
yeah,
every week. Yeah.
All right. We are here.
Let's do a phone call.
We're
going to
do a phone call first because this will be fun.
Sometimes we do a letter
phone.
First.
Don't you
do,
hate
oh,
talking
shit.
On the phone?
You're not
oh,
going to talk
shit.
On the phone. You're going to talk into your microphone.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
better.
Oh, yeah. We don't have to talk. We don't actually have to talk on the phone. I just want to make sure.
I mean, I'll talk to a stranger. I just don't want to talk to people I know on the phone.
Oh.
We're
know
calling.
What I'm
are you ready to call? We're going to call Anna.
Now, do you know? I have a question. Oh, we're calling her now.
Is that a cute song?
It is cute. I
is that your theme song?
No.
Oh.
Hi, Rana. Hi, Brian.
Anna, coming in hot. How's it going?
Did you know you?
I'm good.
You
How
were
are
video
you?
With her.
I didn't. I had no idea. I didn't mean to video you. Can you see me right now?
I can't see you.
Oh, good. Thank God. Because it would be a low angle and it wouldn't be any
he's
fun.
Wearing his, he's wearing a Pennywise the Clown outfit right now.
I sure am.
He has an audition for It later today. For It.
Classic Brian.
It straight to video.
The straight to video It.
he has an audition for the animated It later
That's
today.
Me. Anna, where are you calling from and what is your question? Or you don't even have to say your city if you don't want to.
So I'm calling from Wisconsin.
Okay.
And my question is, I just
am to interrupt you. I did not introduce our guest yet.
What?
The one the
oh,
only
Oh, you mean to Anna.
Yes,
oh,
the hi, one Anna. The only Tom Link is joining us from Buffy,
Hello.
From Trash Cast, from all of it.
Hi Anna, I'm here and I'm here to support you.
There we go.
Well, we'll see.
Thank you so much.
Okay, now hit us with your question.
Okay, so my question, I'm just looking for some advice. I'm marrying my partner, and I'm just unsure of whether or not I want to give up my maiden name or not. And I'm just wondering what you all had to think about it. I'm kind of unsure. I'm really close with my family, and so I am really attached to my name, And I like his family. I love them. But he's not very attached to his last name. And so I'm kind of in this quandary of what I want to do.
Is it too aggressive for him to take yours? I mean, have you been talked about that?
We have talked about that, but my father and him have very similar names. My father is John, and he is a Jonathan, and my grandfather was a John as well.
So he'd have to become a junior. He'd have to become a third.
It's a whole family of Johns. Third. We don't need another
right,
one.
Right, you would be married to someone who has your dad's name.
But he would also have to take a numeral at the end of it, because he would now be John Johnson the Third, or whatever your last name is.
Right.
Why is it, I have a question, why is it even on the table, the taking of the names? I'm curious. In other words,
Rana.
Is it, no, but it's very, it's people don't always take people's names anymore these days.
I'm all for it, but I'm surprised you, I mean, you took Bob's last name.
Well, that was the time.
True.
Yeah.
I think I'm very passionate about this.
That's what everybody keeps saying.
In this day and age.
The people that I go to just say it was kind of the times. That's just what you did. And so that was kind of my thoughts of I want to keep my name. But I know that we want to have children. And in the future, I would love for our children to have the same last name as him. And I just kind of like the idea of being able to have this family dynamic to us, I guess, with sharing the same name. But I'm very attached to my name. And I've lived with it for 25 years. And
Tom
I am
is
having a hard time giving it up.
Tom has something he wants to say. Yeah.
Okay, look,
to
I think it's a very outdated, antiquated thing for I think women should be able to keep their name, because it's not like you're going to like, oh, my husband does all the finances and he owns the home and the property and I don't have a checkbook. I think everyone just keep your name, and then when you have the kids, you can decide. But also, I think what they do in Colombia. We have a friend who is Colombian, and they hyphenate the last name by combining the two names, and then the kids have part of the mother and the father's
Colombia,
name.
The mother's name becomes the last name, I believe.
So it's matriarchal
lineage. It's a matriarchal.
I love that, by the way. So anyway, that could be a way to solve it. You both, if he's not that attached to his last name, then you could, you know, you both have a little of each of.
And do you have long last names? Like, is hyphenation a possibility, or is that like?
That's what I thought of with just hyphenating it. But we both have 8-letter long last names, so then I would have a 16-letter long last name.
Yeah, that is a lot.
And I'm not really. My last name is hard to pronounce. His last name is hard to pronounce. So it's not like it's making my life any easier.
Where you live, do most people take the names of their partners when they get married? Does that still happen?
Yeah, it seems pretty common. Yeah. Just of even so many people that I've talked to, is they're like, well, that's just what I did. It's just what we did. And
so it would almost be unusual for you to not take his name.
Yeah, and
are you worried that he or other people will perceive this as a slight to him in some way? Is that part of your concern, or is it really just you want to keep your name, but you want to have a family and you want the family to have the same name?
Yeah, I think more of the second one of just really wanting to be able to start our own family and, you know, having that name to share together as just being the two of us and whatever family that we start.
And then you don't have the same name as your children, and that bothers you.
Yeah, a little bit. That was just how my family was. And I think I would like to have the same last name as them, but I'm not totally against it. I just have gotten a lot from other people who are just like, well, that's just what you do.
Well, no, it isn't. First of all, it's absolutely not just what you do. You can do whatever you want. If you want to take his last name, then that's what you want to do. Do it. I would say these are rules that I have that I've never applied. The first rule is...
When you got married, did anybody take anybody's names?
We didn't. We kept our own. But we knew we weren't going to have children. There wasn't a reason to.
Yeah.
But we also did a lot wrong.
But you discussed it, or you didn't?
We did. And in retrospect, I don't know. I feel like maybe the marriage would have had more weight to it if we had really done some of those things. I do think that there's like... I don't know. There's a thing with like we didn't do rings either. And sometimes I wish we had made it a little more serious than we... Or taken it a little more seriously than we did. But... I do think whoever gets the last name, the other person gets to choose all the first names for the children, period. I fully believe that. I feel like if the last name is his, you get to pick the first name free and clear.
I think that's insane.
I don't.
I like that.
I do too. You should get in this. You get the first name.
Yeah, but he's not making her take his last name.
She's making a sacrifice for the children.
Yeah, but she has to make that decision.
I know, but that's my rule.
Okay.
For myself.
Okay.
Okay.
And
second of all,
too, of like all of the paperwork and just how many things that I have to change my name on.
Well, I was going to say to Tommy's point, you could wait until you have kids to change your name. This isn't a decision you necessarily have to make right now or before you get married. You could wait on it. And then finally, what I was going to say is last names now are crazy. No, excuse me. Like middle names are always crazy. First names are always crazy. Could you use, even if your last name is long, could it be someone's middle name? Or no?
Well, no, you can, I understand what I thought of the same thing, which is you could use your last name as the middle name of your children. If you're dying to carry that, pass that name on.
Yeah.
Is what you're saying.
It could be the middle name of all of them.
But that doesn't seem, which is a lovely idea, but that doesn't seem to be the real problem. The problem is that she isn't ready to give up her identity just yet.
Yes.
She wants to be married to this guy. But she wants to still be her. And so I think delaying the choice of changing your last name is probably a good idea, because you still want to be you until you have the family. And when that moment happens, maybe you'll know, okay, we're all going to be the whoever's, the Johnsons.
Yeah.
And that's who we want to be, and we're the Johnson family. And so now I'm hyphenated, and my kids all have the same.
Sure.
So we all have the same last name, but I'm also keeping my old one. Or at that point, you might think you're ready for a different thing and you don't mind taking his name or whatever it is. But you really don't seem, as long as this isn't affecting any of your other desire, I don't know whether this is extending into any trepidation about getting married. It doesn't seem that it is. It seems that it's really just about you not being ready to give up your youth, sort of, and who you are and that identity.
Yeah.
Not youth.
Yeah.
But, you know, you're
and
you.
And his last name isn't like Dick Breasts or something, right?
No. No.
But yours is, and that's why you want to keep it? Yeah.
No, his is not like Dick Breasts. No.
It seems like you should keep your name.
It's a fairly normal last name.
Look, it's so hard for everyone to remember the person's new last name anyway. They're going to be calling you by your original recipe last name for a while anyway. So just keep it. So many people in Los Angeles, like all of my lady friends, they have their married name, but it's almost like...
You never call them that. It's the same experience here.
Because they professionally go by their original name.
Yeah. Yes.
And then like for for kids stuff, they go by the husband's name. Or sometimes I have friends that have combined their names jokingly, and now that's kind of their new last name.
Yeah. You know what you do? Yeah. When your kids get to age three, you, mm-hmm. you and your husband stand opposite them. And don't let him see, but you have a handful of Starbursts in your hand. And you say, go to the person whose last name you want. But make sure they see the Starbursts. And then see what happens.
That's a good plan.
Make them choose.
That's a good plan.
You keep your name now, and when you're doing the family planning, you figure it out. But the problem is that there's a lot of legal paperwork when you get married.
Yes.
So are you just legally going to take his last name is the question, and then keep your own name sort of in
right.
life? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it really does have to do with just that identity of who
For
I
sure.
am, who I've always been. I have such a good relationship with my family that, you know, it kind of feels like, well, why? Why do I have to do that?
Yeah, you don't have to.
You don't.
And yeah. I think you can buy yourself more time here if you want.
I think so, too. I really like that idea, though, of just really being able to wait it out and see and then take that step when I know I have a concrete answer.
Good.
Well, yeah, or that it's just important to you that the family all be under one brand,
yeah.
so to speak.
Yeah.
But that'll be a new time in your life when you have kids. I mean, you'll be, you know,
right.
it's an identity shift, to be honest with you.
Right.
Getting married doesn't have to be an identity shift. It's just more of a yeah. formalization of the relationship. But when you become a mother, that's an identity shift, and you might be willing to take that on at that time. And maybe you're hyphenated and they're the other thing, but everybody
yeah.
has the same thing together.
Anna, I know you're going into a meeting, so we're going to let yes. you go. But
awesome.
I hope that was helpful.
That was very helpful. Thank you so much.
Thank you for chatting with us.
Yeah,
fire everybody in that meeting.
And enjoy your, have a wonderful wedding.
Thank you so much.
Okay, kiss, kiss.
All right, bye-bye. Bye now. Take care.
Tom, I was curious, is, and maybe this is a personal question, are children in your future, is that something you've ever wanted? Oh, boy.
I don't know. I was.
Do you have a long-time partner? Can I ask that?
No, I'm single, and it's interesting because everyone, all my friends, I'm at the age where everyone's getting divorced now.
Oh yeah,
I'm like, oh my god, I held out till like round two. Anyway, I didn't have to go through making all.
I know,
the...
but it's great because you can pick up all those patents.
Yeah,
all those people that you had your eye on all that time,
yes.
they're all single now,
and they're all grown up now.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And or you've seen them, or you can see, you sort of look at them and think. I wouldn't. I thought I would. Now
yeah,
I wouldn't.
True colors revealed.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know if I want kids. Actually, yeah. I recently thought it would be fun because I was thinking about the word homophobic recently. How I feel like we use it a lot because we say like, "Oh, I'm arachnophobic," or like, "I have like a crazy like an unexplainable fear of spiders." But like people, you don't have an unexplainable fear of homosexuals, right?
Right.
You
it's just, easy.
You
to
just hate them.
It's
so
easy to explain.
You just like ah, because like, but what if I was a homophobic homosexual where like I see you, I'm like, ah! So then I was thinking like it might be fun to just say that I'm child phobic, like
yeah.
I have a clinical fear
yeah.
to children. So that way, if I was on an airplane, I wouldn't have to sit next to them. So like my excuse would be like, well, I start screaming when I'm around kids, so you're gonna have to
change
their...
to move.
That's
yeah.
very funny,
Rhonda. Why did you only? Now this is very personal. Why did you stop after Jordan? Why did you only have one child? Oh.
Brian,
I'm sorry.
That is a personal question.
I know, I shouldn't have gone there.
That's an incredibly personal question.
You're right. It's not, it's your body.
She has agency over her
I know she does. And that was not,
I
that was
think,
very regressive.
I think that's none of your business.
Okay.
is what I think.
I understand.
But I will say, yeah, I don't think I'm going to have kids.
But also when you, you know,
I
when
like
you
having...
do something perfectly.
Oh,
sometimes
yeah.
Sometimes you don't do it twice.
Do you know about her son? He's.
Oh, he's so fabulous. He's
he,
so fabulous.
How old is he?
When you do something well, sometimes you just say, I've done that now. Like you complete a,
why mess with
a 5,000 piece crossword puzzle. And then you think, I never have to make another one of those again.
Oh, yeah.
He is fabulous. His name's Jordan. He's a filmmaker. Tisch School for the Arts at NYU.
Oh, is this where he's at
you've
currently?
You've heard of Martin Scorsese, I'm sure. You'll
yeah.
be hearing of Jordan. Yeah.
Tish.
Fabulous. I mean,
yeah.
he's something
Tish.
Else.
He's a
wow.
filmmaker.
So he's artistic. He's
I mean,
creative. He's a writer. He's so insightful, and he's fun on top of all that.
I mean, really
he's
a
so,
huge personality.
He has such a great sense of humor.
Absolutely. Really catty. You know what
foodie.
I mean? Like just sort of like that Noel Coward.
And he's a he's so quick. Fire. Are you reading the first
yes.
or am I reading the
you
first?
You read it. How about that?
Whatever you want.
I want you
okay.
to.
Hello, Ronna and Brian. A group of my high school friends have been planning a trip to Vegas for our friend EJ's 30th birthday. He had a tough few years supporting many family members with their health issues and financially, so we are all very excited to be able to celebrate for him for a fun celebratory weekend. Don't use the same word twice.
I knew that was coming.
Also, EJ is not a real name.
Yeah.
Come on, change that.
Unless you're Magic Johnson's
My son. Friend Ethel Jean, yes. Oh, Ernest. Yeah, I love EJ. A few weeks ago, a boyfriend, Levi, one of my high school friends, Andrew, texted our group chat. Okay. A boyfriend of one of my high school friends, Andrew, texted our group chat. Okay, Levi and Andrew. Levi told us that since his birthday is 2 weeks before our trip, he would like the group to also celebrate his birthday in addition to EJ's. I tried calling Levi immediately because EJ was on this chat and didn't feel that it was appropriate. Okay. Levi did not pick up, so we proceeded to text back and forth, wherein I explained that we would be happy to sing him happy birthday. Sing happy birthday to Levi and eat a cake for him, but the weekend should really be about EJ. He told me that instead he would plan a separate trip with his friends to Vegas that very same weekend so that he could celebrate just his birthday. Ever since, Levi continues to text my friend's group chat bragging about the penthouse suite he booked, which he knows we can't afford, and the other extravagant things he has planned. Levi has since intimated that his friends may not be coming after all, so he would like so that he would like to rejoin our group. How can I set firm boundaries? Yeah, by the way, he can't afford dinner. How can I set firm boundaries for this weekend without causing drama before it even starts? Thanks so much. Love you both. This is hysterical.
This Levi.
What a piece of work.
Okay.
What a piece of...
how pathetic.
Also, where's Andrew in all of this?
Who's Andrew?
Andrew is the boyfriend.
Oh, he's the one. Oh, you're right.
Levi is just the boyfriend of one of the high school friends.
Andrew's actually the one who should be
controlling this. This is Andrew's problem.
This. Yeah.
No one's even blaming Andrew.
And I wonder if Andrew was going to Levi's.
I'd love to know.
Jeez.
Levi is an appendage on this trip.
Yeah.
He's not even really invited. He's invited because Andrew's
invited.
He's
a plus one.
He is. Oh, what a piece of work this guy is.
Yeah. He's
very bragging about his new... You like him?
No, he's hysterical. He's a total... I mean, he's a fabulist. Yeah. There's no penthouse.
No.
There was no nothing. This guy probably can't afford the shirt on his back.
I'm telling you, this guy is his own worst enemy. I think there's very little you have to do. He has humiliated himself.
But the problem is they're going to celebrate EJ, who's had a very hard time in his life. And Levi is doing what Levi does best, making the weekend about him. Mm-hmm. It's already about, everything is already about, are we including Levi? We have to talk about his penthouse, da 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 da. Levi is a nobody. He has inserted himself in this drama.
I don't know if you've ever been to a house in Palm Springs with seven other people or anything, Ron.
For a kiki?
Yeah.
No.
If you share a house. Tom, have you ever done a group house situation?
I only learned kiki a few weeks ago.
Yeah,
so now I'm
very proud of you.
Yeah.
Have you ever done a group house?
I have, yeah.
Yeah. One bad apple spoils the bunch. And that bad apple is typically a plus one. And it ruins the entire trip. Hopefully here you're all staying in hotel rooms, but it does. One person in a group of eight who is a wrong fit is catastrophic.
This is a very tricky situation because this is really Andrew's problem. And don't have any information about Andrew here. My instinct is Levi's no longer invited. Levi caused a big stink, talked about how he was doing his own trip the same weekend, and that I would say to Levi, we've already made all of our reservations and everything, and we only made them for eight. We can't really get a ninth. So I don't know what to tell you. But that's not really going to work because Andrew is really the crux of this matter, and we don't really know.
Isn't EJ the crux of this matter? Could he talk to EJ and be like, "Do you want him to come or not?" Because I'll be the strong man here.
Yeah.
Maybe.
My issue.
Yeah.
Is the real problem with this whole thing is that you're all trash if you want to go to Vegas. This is a nightmare. This trip is cursed already. Why would anyone go to Las Vegas?
Especially if you're gay. Like, there's just not, it's not a playground for gay people.
No, there's not a fun. Oh,
okay, tell that to Jennifer Lopez, Britney Spears.
They'll let people go up and see a show.
Lady Gaga, yes. Celine Dion,
maybe
Cirque du Soleil.
Go see
the
a
Russian
show.
Cat Circus.
But yeah. Tell it to,
she's actually
Thunder
right
Down Under.
They don't let boys in Thunder Down Under. They don't let boys in that either. Did you know that? No.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Women only. You can't go to those shows.
Why isn't there a gay review?
No, that's what I'm saying. They don't cater to that at all, except for the divas. They do.
Okay.
Yeah. And I'd say, yes, if maybe you're specifically going to, you have tickets for a show, and you only have to spend one night in Vegas. But this is
a whole trip.
This sounds like a whole trip, and they're going to want to get drunk. And
it's a mess.
It's a trash place to go, and I don't approve. I think you should cancel the trip.
And where should they go?
Also, I think birthday trips
crazy.
Have like a 25-year-old max. Like, you should stop having
like waiting to get into a
birthday
club.
Birthday trips are the New Year's. Oh, it's New Year's
on.
Eve every time you do
but
a birthday trip.
We all have a birthday.
It's always a disappointment.
Like, who
it's
cares? Like,
but this
why
is really
celebrate?
A trip to celebrate EJ.
I know. But
well, why don't they throw a party for EJ at somewhere wonderful venue?
They're already having this trip, you two. Okay. I'm sorry to break the news to you. The trip is happening. The rooms have been prepaid for, I'm sure.
Yeah,
with this
sure.
crowd, they're only
people
30.
Plan ahead. I hate it.
I know.
I think somebody has to pull Andrew. Well, first of all, if EJ doesn't can, EJ wants Levi there. Then too bad. I'm sorry for you. I don't know what the name of our writer is.
He didn't leave
but
a name.
Too bad. Too bad for you. And I know that you're doing. I can see there's a little bit of a MATA routine here. You planned the whole thing.
MATA.
Martyr.
Oh, martyr.
A MATA. Like
it.
Jesus Christ. A
yes.
MATA.
Yeah.
There's a little bit of a MATA routine. I plan the whole thing. I can't control it. It's not going the way I want it to. I'm EJ's closest friend. I'm the one who decides who comes and who doesn't go. Da, 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 da. You better let go of that real fast. If EJ says he wants Levi there, then Levi's coming. But you might have better find a way to laugh at Levi, because that won't be the last feather he pulls out of his boa.
Actually, yeah, because you know what could end up happening? It sounds, I bet you anything,
oh,
he bothers you more than he bothers anyone else at this point. So this might just be your issue.
Yes,
to
his
get
texts
over.
Are driving you crazy.
Yeah.
Everyone agrees that he's nuts and that he's whatever. But most people are willing to ignore him. But he's got you right and eating right out of his. I hope you two don't end up together by the end of the weekend.
This guy, I bet Levi is FUN in bed. I bet he is a
well,
fun
he's crazy.
Time.
But he will leave you with the bill every time. There's no question.
Oh, totally. Especially he does that rich people thing,
look
which, Ronna, you would never
look
do.
Look forward to that.
He does that thing where they just always assume you'll cover it. You'll have the money. Anyone I know who has a ton of money doesn't pay for anything
I hate.
Ever.
Yes, I agree.
Explain
I hate
a situation like that. That drives me insane.
Well, it's like when Bethany invited Luann to go surfing on Real Housewives of New York.
Uh-huh.
And Luann was like, and it was like a private
surfing
lesson.
Surfing or paddleboarding?
Surfing.
Okay.
Or one of them.
Uh-huh.
And Luann was like, I'm sorry, honey. It was like season one, but this was when Bethany didn't really have much.
Oh, yeah, when she was still driving the beetle bug.
Yes, and I used to have a friend who would do that. We would go to these dinners, and he'd be like, do you mind getting this one? I just don't have my wallet, and da-da-da-da. And he was so wealthy, and I always got the bill. And we were friends, not dating.
That's horrible.
Yeah. Because I think they're always afraid of being taken advantage of, maybe. I don't know.
I don't know.
But
I'm a person that's buying dinner all the time.
There we go.
Just not you plane tickets. Okay.
Dear Ron and Brian, thank you for your delightful and insightful podcast. You guys inspire me each week.
Oh.
Kiss up.
What'd you say?
Kiss up.
Kiss up.
They already want
something.
Yes. This is exciting because while you were talking, I think, to your stockbroker, I don't know, you were in the other room, Tom was...
Who, my Martha Stewart?
Oh, no, I didn't think like that.
What'd you do? You heard me say move something from over there?
I just heard you say something about a
Let's
particular...
Let's make a move, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, while you were doing that, Tom was telling me he's going on a solo trip to London, and this applies to this.
Oh.
Dear Ron and Brian... Was that okay that I said that?
Yeah.
Thank you for your delightful insight. Okay. In February, I'll be going to London to lead a study abroad trip for the first time.
Oh.
That was a lie. For the second time. Well, I don't know why I said that. I know Ronna has spent a good deal of time in London, and Brian is a world traveler, too. I'd like your advice on how I can make some friends while I'm there. I'll be there for only 10 weeks, so my usual method of making friends, joining clubs, probably won't work. I've thought about doing dating apps, but do you have any other ideas? My students are in college, so they don't need chaperoning. I don't mind traveling alone, but it would be nice to meet some new people for drinks, dinner, or trips to the theater. Thank you again. Best, Lauren. P.S. If you have any advice for solo travel with style, that would be helpful too. I will say this in terms of dating apps, because I have done this.
Okay. Well, we heard what...
I know.
We've heard what you've done. Yeah. Can I ask you a question, Tommy? This is just a quick... Tom or Tommy, what do you prefer? I mean, it's in both places.
Whatever you feel.
You're a Tommy to me. You're so cute.
Then that's what it
You're
is.
You're so cute. You're probably tired of being called Tommy, but I can't resist.
No, I went by Tom for so long, but that was forced on me in, I think, middle school to try and butch me up.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, then I'll call you Tommy. You remind me of Tommy Lahren anyway. Like, I see that, like, immediately. So,
Brian, let's not get off top. Okay. I have a quick question, Tommy.
Yeah.
Have you ever found yourself in a situation...
Oh, God.
Where someone was giving you, we'll just call it a blowjob.
Even Chelsea can't look at.
And the person who was giving the blowjob fell asleep. Two or three times while it was happening. And you just. you just kept waiting for them to wake up. And then when they woke up, they went into your bathroom and they just cleared the entire menacing chest. I'm just curious if that's ever happened to you.
I made the mistake of telling the story.
I know you're just while we're talking about dating apps, I'm curious if that's ever.
He told me he was a narcoleptic, but Rana said she thought he was a junkie.
He fell asleep in mid fellatio. And then Brian invited him
back. And I thought I was being empathic because I was like, this poor guy's a narcoleptic. Like, I'll just roll with these punches.
I have not experienced that, but I have experienced worse. Which is
what?
I was receiving.
This show has become another show. Yes, go on.
And all of a sudden, I felt a clamping down, a pain. And I'm like, what's happening? And then...
Oh my God.
I realized they had a seizure.
He threw up.
He threw up on your dick? Wait. No. Even the audio equipment's like, absolutely not.
Oh no.
Hang on. Oh.
So, and then.
That is horrific.
Yeah, it was horrific.
Did he know he threw up?
Yeah, he did. And then he panicked and he ran. And he ran for, I guess he thought he was running towards the bathroom.
Oh, this is getting so
and
much
he
worse.
Opened the door, and it was my closet, and he projectile vomited all of my clothes. And then a couple years later, I was knocking on a door to go to a rehearsal, and ding dong, that man answered the door, and the look in his eyes.
Oh, my God.
Do you feel a little better, Brian?
Yeah.
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 No one threw up on you. They just fell asleep gently in your lap.
Did you wake...
No, the first time I woke
really
him up.
Did he clear the cat? He took all your medication?
Everything. And then I wrote him on Grindr, and I was like, such a wuss about it. I was like, hey, I had so much fun. I would love to do it again. If you're up for it, would you mind bringing back my medication? Talk soon. And he blocked me.
Okay, let's get back to our question.
Okay, so that has nothing
apps.
To do with
this. The question was about apps.
Okay,
yeah.
This is
whether
what
that's a way to make friends while you're out of town. Yeah.
You go on Tinder. Well, for Tinder is...
This is a woman.
Okay, well,
right?
For Tinder is like Match for gays, and I think Tinder is
Grindr
for
straights,
right? Well, what I would do is on Tinder you can set your location somewhere else. So in advance of your trip, you set your location to London.
Smart.
And then you swipe and swipe and swipe and swipe. You get a bunch of matches. You talk, and you can even say I'm looking for friends on there to hang out with. But it's also a cool way to like set up some dates while you're there if you're looking to escape America and
set
Trump.
Them in advance.
This is what I've done.
Get your chat going before you go.
Yeah, and it works. And I've actually made some friends that way. So
I also feel like Grindr, from my experience, is a little bit different in Europe than it is here. In that, like,
I was going to say, didn't you make a nice friend in Vienna?
A couple of really cool people that I didn't even. I mean, one of them we were kind of hooking. We were like, kiss. That was it. But the other one, it was just friends. And that people are just up to use those apps in those countries as a social mechanism. And it was wonderful.
Yeah.
And they gave me like deep cut suggestions that was so, you know what I mean? Just like not the touristy thing. They were like, oh, don't go there. Like that place is so overrated. Go here. It was just like nice.
I don't know if that applies the same for straight
for women,
people, though.
You might be right.
And for women. And I think this, I mean, because then you're just women only meeting men. Whereas she seems to be looking also for friends. Dates would be nice, but friends as well.
I wonder if there's like an expat Facebook group or something, like an Americans in London sort of situation.
Because she says she likes to join social clubs, but I guess that means like a
the
joining
Lions
clubs,
Club.
like a physical, like a book yeah. club or something.
YMCA.
I think actually that's an interesting idea, Brian. What are your interests? For me, I don't want to go to the theater with anybody else except Brian occasionally and a few other
Rana
people.
Took me to see Fleabag on stage.
I did.
With Phoebe Waller-Bridge.
Yeah. Oh, we had a wonderful time.
Yeah.
Oh, we
how dare you.
We had terrific seats. I have to tell
I hate to sound like Rana. I wore my Brunello Cucinelli.
You did. He wore his Cucinelli.
Nice cashmere.
He did wear his Cucinelli. Okay. Yeah. It was
the one and only time I wore it.
Yeah. Oh, really?
That's it. That's all I've worn.
Oh, you've got to wear
I'm
it
too
more
scared
often.
To wear it.
Looks, why? It looks great on just a sweater.
I know.
You gonna leave it in your closet and let the moths eat it?
No, I have it like packed up in one of those.
Start wearing
vacuum seal.
It. Yeah. Wear it in good health, as they say. But one idea is to start going on to Facebook and looking at different groups and things you're interested in. And for me, I don't want to go to the theater with anybody else. But if I did, I would start looking. I would look around and see if there was such a thing, and then start sort of chatting with people a bit. But I think honestly, you're gonna have to get to work in London and see if there's anybody you get a sort of nice vibe for. People are very friendly too. They'll probably invite you
yeah,
for drinks.
Yeah, they really are.
If someone invites you for a drink, go is probably the short answer to that. But, you know, I know it would be nice to meet people. If they cross your path, that's wonderful. I think you just have to have a little bit of gumption or chutzpah, as we say. Moxie, whatever word you want to use, about asking people for plans mm-hmm. and not feeling weird about it. Because I think it just won't come together otherwise. So you sort of have to say, do you want to grab a drink? Actually, I'm thinking about going to see this show. Would that be interesting to you? You know, and then the circle will sort of widen itself.
And maybe
but setting up a few dates isn't a bad idea either.
And maybe like really stick to your neighborhood for all of your essentials. Like go to the same coffee shop maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know. I say make the plans and you'll discover the friends there.
When I
go to the theater alone, I talk to people, I make friends. And when you're traveling, if you're staying at a hotel, you're going to meet people there. I find that other travelers are more open to.
Yes.
Also,
she's going to be in some kind of a dormitory or something because it's a study abroad.
I would say also if you can get on any sort of what's happening in London and just find something that get as specific as possible with what your interests
or
are.
Go to a yoga class.
Yeah.
People always want to go get a cup of tea or something.
I'm not a pub person. Yeah. Is that a thing? Are people social there?
I don't think people are going to come up to you in a pub and talk to you unless they're hitting on you.
Yeah.
Which, you know, congratulations. But
pre-theater pub might be somewhere where you're chatting and meeting people.
Yes, where you're sort of saying, oh, have you seen this show? I've seen that show. Theater people do love to talk about theater. You could go to the bar at the National Theater.
Yeah.
And
sit
in the bar and have a drink, which I love to do, of course. Yeah. Or the National Theater Bookshop. If you just hang around the National Theater a little bit, maybe you're not a theater person. I don't know. I mean,
why go to London?
It's tricky. I think the most important thing is I love the idea of chatting ahead of time and setting up a few dates, because even if it doesn't work out, that person might invite you to an event and you could put on your profile, you know, in town, looking for friends or looking interested in this and that and whatever. But I think the most important thing is just that you're going to have to take the initiative to set social engagements with people. And when people invite you to things, go to them if they seem interesting. But don't go just because you feel like you have to, ever.
Yeah.
Live your life your way. London's fabulous.
Also go put a thing up on Facebook and be like, hey, who's got friends in London?
Oh, that's a good idea.
I know that's sort of like.
No, definitely.
Actually, that's a wonderful idea.
I would just
idea.
Exhaust your contacts with that sort of thing.
Yeah. On Facebook or on Instagram, I'm heading to London, Is there anyone have friends I should look up?
Because by the way, even if you're not crazy about the person who's giving you the suggestion, you might be crazy about the person who you end up meeting.
That's a terrific idea.
And go see that musical Six. It's so good.
Really?
What is Six?
What is it?
It's Henry VIII's Six Wives, but as told through like modern day Beyonce style music costume and girl, sort of girl, girl group choreography.
Oh, that's fun.
It's so fun. You're going to love it.
There you go.
Okay. Hi, Ron and Brian. Here's the deal. I've been keeping a journal since the third grade. I am now 33. This equates to something like 40 filled journals. Let me just go into that for a sec. This means journals through the awkward middle school years, tear-stained pages throughout high school drama, embarrassing entries soaked in emo melodrama through college. Oh yeah, then the shit show that is your 20s. What am I to do with all of these? I can't bear to get rid of them, but I can't imagine ever reading them either. See above, total cringe embarrassment. I recently had twins. Maybe this could be used as teaching tools for them? Oh, God, I shudder at the thought. Shh, that's in the letter. Me too, by the way. Thank you. You two are a dream. Love, Haley. P.S. I am still writing in journals.
Own your shit. I'm not even kidding here. I would frame the most embarrassing pages of those journals. I really would. I think that would be so cool.
Oh,
Well, I've done that show Mortified, where you read from your journals, and they've got chapters in all the major cities. Where does it say where she's at?
No.
Anyway, or you can reach out to them online, they'll go through them with you, specifically your childhood and teen ones, and they'll look for your most embarrassing, awkward, and mortifying experiences, and then you read them in front of an audience, and it's so much fun, and you will laugh, and you will cry. So do that. And then I did it. I had song lyrics that I wrote when I was in middle school.
That's adorable.
And I sang them and whatever. And now I'm like, I could throw those papers away. Like, I'm not attached to them anymore because I feel like I use them again. Uh-huh. Great. Moving on. Get rid of it. And also you could scan these and put them on a hard drive so you don't have to have the physical copies. I don't know.
I save my calendars every year. Like, I use a physical calendar, and I just like file them away just if I ever want to see what I did that day,
or in case you were accused of murder and you need to know, or, like, if you have an alibi,
if you called before the Supreme Court as a nominee and you can just say I was at Squee's house.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that day.
Absolutely.
Drinking beer with Squee.
Rana, do you keep
Tobin
a journal
and Squee?
Or do you meditate, or do you get your how do you get your thoughts out except by saying everything?
I wouldn't call myself a traditional meditator. I don't have a meditation corner. But I do take time every morning to gather myself before I attack the day.
So is it like one of the first things you do?
It is the first thing I do before I get out of my bed, even in the morning, is I do a sort of meditation for about 25 minutes in my fabulous bed. And I just...
What kind of bed is it?
It's a Hestens.
Casper? Oh.
Whoa, it's not the horse logo?
That's correct.
You know this brand?
I don't know. It's on Beverly. I drive by it when I'm home in L.A.
Oh, they have a storefront?
Yeah, and it's like made of like...
Well, you got to go lay on the bed.
It's made of like organic... made of horsehair?
It's the bed that King... It's horsehair. It's also, I believe, flax and a few other things. It's the bed the King of Sweden sleeps on.
Got it.
Yeah.
Can I ask one more thing?
Not how much it costs.
Oh, okay.
It's at least like $5,000.
Oh, I think it's at least, I'm going to guess that it's at least 10,000.
You think?
Okay, that means it's at least 20. That means it's at least 30. Oh, my God. 50. We would lose the prices right.
Oh, my God.
Was this again $100,000?
This is a down payment on a house.
Oh, Rana, we're not going to get this out of her.
Okay. Wow. Here's my question. What's the question?
Yeah.
I don't understand this question.
I know. I don't know why I pulled
both
it.
Of you have asked. No, but never mind. You pulled it. Why is she asking this
what
question?
What am I to do with all these, she says.
Well, what does that mean? Where are they now?
Probably on a shelf.
In a box, or they're not in a box, or how much room are they taking? It's 40 books, okay? So either keep them in storage and don't ever think about them again, or put them up on a beautiful bookshelf in your office or whatever it is, and that's where my journals are. Make a thing about it if you want to. You know, paint an accent wall. Put up a bookshelf on that wall. That's my journal wall. Mom's journal wall. Do not touch. Whatever it is. But why are you asking this question? I don't... where are they now?
I know what's happening. It's that... My nemesis, Marie Kondo, is getting
to everyone. I was about to say,
everyone.
Maybe she's living in clutter.
I don't think she's living in clutter. She's just feeling guilty that she's holding
that she
on
has
to
anything.
These.
Is that
yeah.
what it is?
And the articles that I've read post Marie Kondo, the post Kondo times that we're in, is that we're throwing away too much. You're allowed to have some stuff. And if they bring you joy, yada yada, then keep them. But also
how wonderful. Look, of course it's all embarrassing. You wrote it when you were 15 or you were 21 or whatever it was. Of course you cringe the idea of going back and reading it. But at the same, I don't know how you're going to feel when you're 80. You may feel like you want to read. I mean, you will at that point have, 80 books or 60 books of memories. Who has that?
I know. I think it's actually incredible. That
I
you
mean,
kept
keep it, and then when you die, it's someone else's responsibility to throw it away.
Yeah, or you put in your will. You don't want anybody to read them, and you say, "Burn them when I die,"
or
whatever,
bury them
or
with
whatever
me.
It
yeah.
is. But how wonderful! I mean, I don't know how you're going to feel in 20 years or 30 years. You might feel like going back and reading some of this.
Also,
stuff.
Wouldn't it be cool? She just had twins. Wouldn't it be cool to give your kid your journal for the year that they were?
I just say, if I could go back, and I think a lot of people have this answer, go back in any time period, it would be when my parents were growing up. I'm just dying to see
like who they were,
how they were raised, yeah. who they were, how they developed.
So like,
I would actually
would give
kill for
seventh grade her
yeah.
to seventh grade them, and they'll be able to like,
I think that's actually
no,
beautiful.
Like, oh wait, I'm not alone in what I'm going through, right? Like, it existed, this teenage angst.
But
that
also,
I'm
it's a useful tool for the mother when the daughter turns 11 or whatever it is, and she has questions about this and that. And you could read that book again and ask yourself, how did I feel when I was going through this change? And it may make you a much more relatable parent. But the real answer is, I would definitely make sure they are in a safe place where they can't get. A flood can't get to them. A fire can't get to them. You might want these at some point. Just store them nicely and then or put them on a shelf and make them part of your decor. But these are cherished items. There's nothing wrong with keeping them.
Agreed.
Yeah.
All right. So we have I think we should do one of these and then we have one more.
OK.
Would you rather hear one about people thinking about having kids or a man's complicated relationship with his father? Which would you rather talk about?
The father.
Okay. Hi, Ron and Brian. This is my first time engaging with anything like this, so please forgive me if this is too much to waffle through. I'm 26 and from the UK, and it's just been the 7th anniversary of my father passing away. I like to think I get on with things as best I can, as there's nothing I can do about him being dead, but recently I seem to be getting more overwhelmed with feeling conflicted, unsettled, and kind of unresolved about things. My father and I had a rather complicated relationship due to me not being the masculine, straight son he wanted, and I had problems with him due to his drinking too much, which it had been suggested to me by the other family was exacerbated by him not being okay with me being gay. I feel like I'm constantly being unable to shake thoughts of what ifs about whether things in our relationship would have improved had he not died when he did, which seems futile as I'll never know one way or the other. I'm interested to know what you think or recommend, if anything, as it seems stranger to me that I seem to be struggling more with this as time goes on. I adore you both and I'm very excited for your new podcast, Joseph. Yeah, I have not experienced this yet. I know what a complicated relationship is. And I think that's, by the way, my first gut reaction is how horrible that anyone else in your family would tell you
that
your father drank more because you were gay.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable to me.
Well, this is very hard because on the one hand, you're dealing with just processing loss, which is, of course, something we will all go through at some point and is incredibly difficult. And I think I can only speak from personal experience, but loss, the feeling of loss is not something that really goes away. So you can come to terms with it, but it sort of comes back. I think that people have this idea that you lose someone, you're upset for a while, and then you go back to life, but you have these sort of memories. So I think there's this idea that mourning is a set period of time, mm-hmm. so that you mourn something and then you get back to life. For some people, I'm sure that's true, that it's quicker for them to get back to life. But you have an unresolved issue here, and this is plaguing you. And this is an incredibly difficult I mean, honestly, I don't know if you have a therapist. That's sort of my first question to you, because this is something that you're not actually going to be able to unpack on your own. This is something that somebody needs to help someone who's terrific and qualified and supportive. Don't get a terrible therapist. Or if you don't like the first person you go to, try the next one until you can, honestly, it's annoying, but until you connect with somebody.
To add to that, I would say that I did go through a period where I was going to Al-Anon, and it really helped me a lot. It is so nice to hear other people's perspectives about your situations and also feel like you're not in this alone, mm-hmm. to hear what other people have to say about their experiences. And grief is, I think it even goes so specific as to talk about Al-Anon in grief. I mean, I think there is a part of that, and I think it does make you feel a lot less alone. I don't know. Does England have Al-Anon? They do.
Well, yeah. And Al-Anon is friends and family
of alcoholics. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's a terrific idea.
It really helped me.
Just because that's part of the complication here is that it sounds like you didn't understand your father, and you and your father didn't understand each other in life, and you continue to not understand each other in death, if that makes any sense. And so if nothing else, being around other people that have had similar experiences, it does sort of dull that pain of I'm not alone in this. This is a thing that happens to people. And I think that helps with some of the shame that gets intertwined in these relationships too, in the isolation, which is how do I deal with this thing? And the person seems so monolithic in your life, that relationship, that primal father-son relationship, and obviously it's tied up in all of these issues of masculinity, and it sounds like your family is a little bit on the less progressive side or old-fashioned side if they have the gall to say to you, your father drank because you were gay, and I don't know anything about your father, but who knows if he had unresolved issues of his own? Like, who knows what he was drinking for? Obviously, he wasn't a perfect person and someone to hold up as a paragon in life. He had his own flaws. And so the bad news is you're left holding this bag. You have to unpack this. But you really can't do it yourself. You really have to find someone to talk this through with and to move through this. But you are never going to know what he thought and what he thought of you, if that is what this ultimate issue is.
What you can know for sure, but I think you would want to talk about it with a therapist, because I think you need to keep hearing it, is that if he didn't like you because you were gay, that is really
what does
has
that say
nothing
about,
to do with
But also what does
you.
It say about him as a person?
That's what I mean.
I mean, there's always this trick with parents.
Families, yeah.
Which is that they're just people. And so at the end of this journey, hopefully, when you're unpacking, the thing that you'll come to terms with is, I'm sure there were certain things that you two had in common, that you shared, that you loved him and he loved you, but that there was this misunderstanding, that you just couldn't get to this place of peace with each other. But that there was probably similarities between you. Maybe you look alike. Maybe you both love to do certain things. And isn't that complicated that we could be alike in these ways and so dissimilar in other ways. But this was also a guy who didn't think it was okay for people to be gay and to live their lives.
And that
and
was
to,
nothing you did
and
to
live,
him. Yeah.
And to live a free, open life. You are completely deserving of love and a life that you enjoy. Everyone is. It doesn't matter whether you're gay or you're straight or you're both or you're five other things. Everyone is entitled to that. And the fact that your father should think that anyone wasn't should show you not to think so much of him in a way. To take him off the pedestal.
I will say I've been going to the same therapist for 15 years, and I love it. I love him. I've gone through all the different stages with him, of projecting on him. But the stages of grief, I initially went to him for a breakup. And every once in a while, it'll come back up. The thing I went to 15 years ago will rear its ugly head. And so I think it's important to remember that it sounds like... that Joseph is stuck, gone back into a bargaining stage. That's one of the phases of grief. And you're sort of bargaining with the past and what can you do to change it and whatnot. And that particular place, I know, is so hard to get out of. It's just like a circle in your mind.
Yeah, ruminating.
And so the therapy is the thing that I always go back to. And even, and I think people think, oh, look, I'll go to the therapy and deal with it. You know, I'll fix myself in a month or two or whatever. It's so great to go once a week,
no,
have an appointment
wonderful.
Essentially with
yes.
yourself to talk it out and to talk anything that's on your mind and deal with these things. So I think.
And you don't have to be in crisis to go to therapy. It's why people start going.
Yeah.
But it's not why you stay.
That's why I went. I have the best
time. It's a tune-up.
I laugh.
It's a tune-up.
Sometimes I just talk about things I'm happy about.
I always dread going. But then once I'm there, once I leave, I'm just like, oh, wow, did I need that? It feels like a workout.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It feels like I'm
a
real. It is.
You're yeah. taking care of your soul. And also you have someone in your life who that is the only purpose of that relationship. They are not in your friend. They are not your family. You are not entangled with them on multiple levels.
Yeah.
It's just for you to try to unpack these certain things or to celebrate your victories or your progress or whatever it is. But really, it's just a useful tool. And I think what Tommy said is dead on, that you're in the bargaining stage.
Can I also say something?
You can't resolve this yourself, really. I mean, no. You could read a book, maybe, but
go
ahead. You're on the NHS, though. They've got therapists.
Yeah, you'll have coverage. I will say I'm not particularly a religious person, and I don't know if this person is, but I don't know. I've seen the Muppet Christmas Carol movie, and I know that if whoever this man is at, he's, his energy, his spirit, he's not hating you from beyond the grave. Like,
yeah.
Wherever he's at, he is now coming from a place of love and knowing that he was not correct in his feelings
but
about being
this
gay.
Is also, again, though, I mean, we were talking to the caller about getting married and identity and all of that. This is a rite of passage in life. This is also an identity shift. Because we were talking about when she has children, she'll become a mother. That's an identity shift. When you're a child and you lose your parent, you're not the child anymore. Mm-hmm. You're just a grown-up floating around the world. And so you're not living your life in part of the problem is he's not living his life in relation to this person anymore. Oh, he shouldn't be, but he is.
Yeah.
Because his father's critical voice was so strong in his life. He knew his father disapproved of his life. And his father's critical voice was so strong in his head for
and
so
all,
long.
And by the way, all is speaking from experience, all you care about, I think, when you're a gay son and you're not accepted, is just making them happy. It's like, and you are a hamster in a wheel and it just won't ever work because you're gay.
Yeah.
You know,
you're never going to be what they wanted you
to
be.
And all you want is to, that's why you were probably a perfect student growing up. You probably did exactly what they wanted. And it doesn't work that way.
He's 26 now. So now it's time to become your own man.
Absolutely.
And part of the problem with that is figuring out what kind of a man you want to be.
Yeah.
And that is really just a one foot in front of the other path. Mm-hmm. And that is about how you treat other people, how kind you are to yourself, and how you want to walk through this world. And that's really where you're at right now.
And
that is something a therapist can help with.
I would
sure.
get tickets to Six ASAP.
Not a bad idea.
And treat yourself to a magical night
Not
at the
a
theater.
Bad idea.
All right, okay. Rhonda, we've got one more.
Okay.
I also wanted to suggest, and maybe we'll cut this out.
Did I get a therapist?
No, Rhonda, you are a therapist.
Okay.
I was also going to say, though, that maybe, do you go to a therapist? I can't even picture you going to therapy.
What are you
going to
suggest?
Okay. I was just going to say, there are a lot of Rhonda lovers in England, clearly.
Oh, yes, of course.
So I was just going to say, maybe...
Oh, that we should do a show there in the spring?
Of course, but maybe one of the ladies in the previous letter, one of the previous letters who's going there, could just find another Ask Rhonda listener.
Oh.
You know what I mean? Like, that's something you have in common.
Oh, look
at
you.
People love to nerd out about Rhonda, so, like, go be a nerd about Rhonda.
Or throwing shade. There's tons of throwing shade fans. Maybe,
what if you guys went on
or trash
Twitter?
Cast.
What if you guys went on your Twitter and said, hey, we've got a gal pal that's going to London, and she's a fan of us, and she needs people to hang out with. Are you a fellow? What are your fans called? Ronheads?
Ooh, good question. Ronettes. The Ronettes.
The Ronettes.
They don't have a name yet. Ronheads.
Ronheads.
Yeah, I don't
Ronettes,
think
that's. But I like the Ronettes because it's kind of. What was Bette Midler's backup dancers called?
The Divine Miss M.
But what were her people?
My God.
How dare you not know
the clamshells?
That was fascinating. There was just a gay pop quiz here. Brian failed it.
I did
and
fail
he is
it.
Sweating.
Are they the Ronettes? No,
the Ronettes was Baby I Love You, and they were the ones who had the guns pointed at their heads.
Okay.
Anyway.
Let's do our last question. But that's not a bad idea. We have a list. That's okay, so we're announcing that now. We have a listener who's coming to London. And if people want to meet up, they could DM us and we could put them in touch.
Yeah, and if you, yeah. Exactly. That's a great idea.
Or you can email us at askrun@gmail.com and send your details and we'll forward them on and you can chat.
What better way to
the
bond?
The staggering harlots. The harlots.
The harlots, yeah.
Yeah, the harlots.
Well, that doesn't help.
The Ronettes. Yeah.
The harlots, you could be that.
And if you have any ideas for what you want to call your Ronna fan club, you can, the Ask Ronettes, you can let us know what you want to be called.
What about the Trader Joe's?
What about the
Cinecats?
What about the Trade Brian Inns? Yeah. Okay.
Okay, we've got one more letter.
Okay.
Dear Ronna.
Yeah.
And Brian and Tom, but this specifically says Dear Ronna.
Okay.
Love the podcast.
They often do.
Especially love the 8 Days of Ronica.
Oh.
Though I gotta say, you could have used a category with a little higher price point for those of us who enjoy spending.
Oh.
Wow. Anyway, Ronna, Brian.
It was hard.
I feel my prime approaching, and it's terrific. Who would have thought that in my mid-70s, this little dynamo would be ready to take over the free world? But when you have a calling, you have a calling. Isn't that right? So my question is this. We all know I'm the best. We all know I can beat that fat fraud in the general. We all know I can just buy the thing if I have to. But how satisfying would that really be? Ronna, Brian, I want to win the old-fashioned way. I want to earn it, parentheses. Ha, 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 ha. That was a little riff on the Smith Barney commercials from the 80s. God, those were the days. Ron, I remember that party at Elaine's when we first met. I saw you cross the room. You passed up a hell of an evening is all I'm saying.
This guy.
Then in 93 at Martha's in the Hamptons, I was lonely in that hot tub. And then that time we were stuck on the gondola in Aspen, that form-fitting Descente ski suit blew my mind.
Yep.
You never showed up for Opry ski. I digress. Ronna, Brian, how do I make myself more relatable to the youth? I might as well try to win them over before buying them, right? Save myself a little dough. What are the kids into these days? Appreciate all the help. MB. P.S. Ronna, I'll have some downtime in Denver next week. If you want to swing by my suite, have a little fun. I just got a Secret Service detail. Tell them you're there to see Big Soda. It's my code name. Ronna, do you know who this is? This was very personal.
Of course I know who this is.
You know this guy?
This guy has been on my case for the better part of 3 decades.
This is, it sounds like none other than billionaire Democratic candidate.
Now he's a Democrat.
A Democrat.
Isn't that convenient?
Michael Bloomberg.
Yeah.
You know Michael Bloomberg?
Well, do I know him or do I know him?
How do you
know
him?
I mean, that's the question.
You know him? And who's Martha?
I don't know. Let's put it this way.
Martha's
Stewart.
Oh, Martha Stewart. Right, of course.
Jesus.
You've been to her house?
Of course.
Wow.
It's not everything you think it would be.
Wow.
She always has a lot of people helping her.
Sure. Doesn't
happen
on its own. So she's actually not even doing
it. Doesn't happen on its own.
Okay.
Yeah. Look, Mike and I know each other. Do we know each other the way
Mike?
Do we know each other the way he'd like to know each other? No, we do not, but...
He saw you from across the room at Elaine's.
Yeah, at Elaine. Elaine Goodman's. You know, Elaine. My very good friend
Bergdorf.
Elaine Goodman, as in Bergdorf, of course.
I went to Stretch.
Yeah.
Oh, no. I went Sorry. Through... I met him through my good friend Elaine Goodman.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
So, and what's a Descente?
Descente.
What's a Descente?
It is a French racing ski brand, a ski racing brand.
And you had one?
Have one.
Oh,
I'm an excellent skier, as you know.
Yeah, we're going on a ski trip,
and
maybe.
In fact, yeah.
We'll talk about that.
But Brian and I are talking about hitting the bunny slope in Aspen together.
Yeah.
In any event, I'm a fabulous skier, of course. And when I ski, I wear the right gear. So I was wearing a Descente head to toe. It was red head to toe, and it actually had, which was unusual for me, had a little blue accent. The Descente logo, which is an arrow, was blue on that particular suit, as I recall.
Wow.
And that was the last time I wore red. The funny thing with me, you know I'm shades of vanilla.
Yeah.
But when I'm on the slopes, I like to wear a color because you don't want anybody to run into you. And also, and I like to peacock a little bit when I'm moguling or whatever I'm doing.
Wow. I bet you're a beautiful skier.
I am.
Did you match the red suit with red lipstick and blue eyeshadow?
No. I absolutely did not. But the funny thing is, if I wear a bright color on the slopes, nobody says, oh, that's Rana. So I can be anonymous on the slopes.
Oh, that's got to be a
it's
good
It's sort
feeling.
Of a reverse camouflage, if that makes any sense. Whereas when I go to my après-ski, of course, I'm swathed in, you know,
creams
and caramels and, you know.
Coffees.
An axe, of course. Yeah. A cafe au lait.
Yeah.
That sort of a look.
Wow, that's fabulous. Yeah.
So that way, in a weird way, I almost look like I'm part of the ski patrol in the red.
Uh-huh.
So people think,
authoritative.
Who's that hot shot? Who's that hot shot? Yes. It's she knows what Glickman. She's doing. That's just one of my many suits. I wear a lot of Bognas also.
What's a Bogna?
Bogna's a brand. Anyway.
Okay.
That's not the point. We
I don't
have
think
a,
these brands are in
we
style
have a person
anymore.
That seems to need some advice.
Okay. How would we get someone like Jordan to vote for Mike Bloom? That's what he wants to know. How does he appeal to the youth? What could he possibly do? You can't, is my answer. You're a thousand. You're a billionaire.
Yeah.
You used to be a Republican.
Yeah.
So it's just
going
to be.
You hate soda.
You hate soda. Listen, do I like you better than the other billionaire? Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're not a
Who's
psychopath.
Who's the other billionaire?
You're right. He's not even a billionaire.
Doesn't have any money. You're talking about Trump?
Yeah.
What do you think's driving Mike Bloomberg crazy? Trump doesn't have a dollar.
He's not
a real billionaire.
Right.
If he's worth $400 million, it's a miracle.
Would you have gone out with him?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
No, he's repulsive.
Yeah, he is.
The problem with Mike is he's too persistent, if that makes any
he
sense.
He doesn't take
if
no
that
for
makes any. He just doesn't. He assumes he's getting what he wants.
Well, yeah, I mean, he followed
and I don't
you.
Find that. It's not a personal thing.
Wow.
You know,
ugh,
I don't.
He was in a hot tub by himself at Martha Stewart's. That is absolutely
well.
Revolting.
She does. Have, it is. I will say she's got a beautiful view of the ocean from there.
That's
of the
nice.
Yeah, she's on the right side of the Hamptons. But Mike just sees what he wants and he takes it, and that's not really my style.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You need to be more seduced.
You need to bag him with me. Yeah. Mm. You need to come to me, and you need to present your case.
And so that's what you think he needs to do to the American people.
I think it would help.
Yeah.
But I honestly think you can't die with it, Mike. You may as well hire somebody young to figure out what they want. But you're right, Brent. You're not a relatable figure.
You're just not going to appeal to the... I mean, listen, I don't think you're a bad candidate. You're not my favorite candidate, but you're just... It's not going to happen.
It's not...
Where you're going to appeal to the youth.
It's also just not going to happen.
It's also just not going to happen.
No. This is not really... I appreciate you being a sort of, you know, gumming up the works. And in a weird way, in the same way, I don't know what's going to happen with Biden, but in the same way that Biden is sort of taking all of this, you know, shrapnel at the moment, because Trump sees Biden. The only thing Trump can see, Trump can't imagine a world where anybody would want Bernie or anything, or in his bad breath, or, you know, that
right.
sort of, who wants to sit and talk to him? He's not rich, he's not powerful, he's not sexy, he's not attractive. Those are the things that Trump admires. So he doesn't see anybody else's competition. He thinks Liz Warren has dishwater hair. And
you think it just
interested.
Comes down to he thinks Biden's handsome?
I think Trump thinks Biden is like him, that he's the bizarro version. We're a couple of old guys. We know how to run the world. He's real competition. He's real competition. Everybody else, why would you even look at them? They don't have any money. That's all Trump thinks is you don't have any money. He looks at Mike Bloomberg has real money. So he's a scare. I mean, I'll say that about Mike. He's a self-made man from Boston, by the way. Grew up in Boston.
I see.
Yeah. So this goes further than it. You know, this goes deep, runs deep for Mike.
Thoughts on MB?
I don't know, but do you think Pelosi might jump in at the last minute here?
She's a real hero right now. Oh.
I don't know. You know, that's interesting. I don't think she's a good candidate either. I think she's in a good position right now, which is that she sort of has the same, if she runs in a general election, she sort of has the same problems as Hillary.
By the way, I wouldn't, this sounds crazy. I would not mind if she jumped back in, Hillary.
Oh, twist.
And did what?
I just loved her interview on Howard Stern so much.
Yeah, I haven't listened to it yet. But everybody was really relating to it, saying she was wonderful.
Listen, there's a few I really love who are running, so I hope one of them gets
it. I just think Pelosi at the moment is in a position where she can speak her mind and do whatever she wants and say whatever she wants. And if she puts herself in a position where she needs more from... Also, she's very powerful right now. If she puts herself in a position where she needs more, where she's trying to convert that much of the population, I sort of think it's going to neutralize her in some way, but I could be wrong about that. I mean, my point about Mike Bloomberg is just that he's just another old guy distraction. And so if that's helpful for a while, before we get to the general, he's not going to get the nomination. But if that's helpful for him to take some of the shots while the other people are building up their campaign, I'm fine with that.
Oh, good.
But what I'd rather, which is, that's how I feel about Biden at the moment. I don't think Biden is actually a real candidate. We'll see it where that lands. But I'm sort of hoping he's distracting Trump. And in the meanwhile, Elizabeth Warren is building her base, or whoever, Mayor Pete, or whoever the next person is.
I think Bloomberg is like, hey, I'm going to just go in kind of as a moving target to distract, but to help propel people.
That'd be admirable.
Well, I don't think that's not what he's doing. I mean, I think he's coming in to shake things up. I think he knows he won't win. I think he's running a strange campaign. I think skipping Iowa is not a thing. I mean, if you really want to, that to me is a bad strategy. But I think if your strategy is just to distract, if he's a bit like Soros, which is he just wants to get his message out. Soros is not a candidate, obviously.
Yeah.
But somebody who has an agenda and believes that the country should be trending in another direction and can afford to continue to be putting that message out. If that's what he's doing and the message is a solid message, even if he ends up melding that into somebody else's platform, that's fine with me. It's just a question of timing of when he pulls out and when he pulls forward and who is kind of waiting in the wings, who's growing. It almost gives Liz Warren, et cetera, a chance to build their domestic agenda. Well, he's sort of distracting the monster.
I wish Tom Cruise would run.
You think he'd be, well, he could win. He could certainly
win. He probably
could.
Yeah. No, but for real, Oprah.
Oprah for real. Oprah for real.
Yeah, never.
Why wouldn't
never.
She?
She has a wonderful life.
Yeah, she does have a perfect life.
being the president is a terrible job. It's a big job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just ask any of them. Anyway, so Tommy.
Michelle Obama.
Yeah, she'd be fabulous.
Yep. That I would.
She would win. I think she would win.
She could.
Tommy Link.
Yeah.
What would we do without you?
What this about a giveaway?
I'm about to get to it. So we have a giveaway every week where we give one of our people who've written into us or who we talked to a special prize. The person who we think most deserves it.
Yeah.
What's the prize this week, Rana?
Everybody has dry hands during the winter, so we're giving it away a gorgeous Diptyque. Now, I don't always love the candle scents, as I've told Brian, but they make a beautiful rose hand balm, and we're going to be giving that away.
Very nice. Okay, Tommy, here are the people who we could give it to.
Oh, okay. I have to choose?
We each get a vote.
Yes.
Okay, there's Joseph in the UK who is trying to repair his relationship with his deceased father. Mm-hmm. There is Haley, who wants to fill...
Her journals. Wants to fill a room with her journals.
Correct.
Yeah, or do Mortified.
Correct. There is...
the phone call, of course, the lady, this name switcher.
Anna,
yeah,
who we
Mike
talked to.
Bloomberg.
And then there is, we don't know this person's name, but the Levi Andrew EJ situation.
Oh, yeah.
In Vegas.
EJ
well, obviously,
Johnson.
I think they're all trash because they're going to Vegas, so they're out of the running for me. I really feel like the stakes were highest with our boy
Joseph.
Yeah.
And I feel like he has, you know, a deep yearning to grow and change, and I liked seeing that in the candidate.
Could we ship this to the UK?
Well, you know what I think we'll do if we're going to pick Joseph?
Huh.
We're going to send Joseph a beautiful Bamford product.
Okay.
You know I love Bamford.
I do.
Bamford is a British brand that I can only get when I'm over there. And in fact, we didn't talk about the girls going to London.
She was the solo traveler.
But she didn't get it, so it doesn't matter. But she can go get herself a Bamford when she's over there.
Great idea.
They carry it at Liberty and a number of other places, including Dalesford, which is a terrific organic farm shop. where they have delicious food and a few other things. But we are going to, we'll send him a Bamford product. That's what we're going to do.
It's great.
Okay.
Terrific. All right, Tommy Link, thank you for joining us. He's at Tommy Link everywhere.
And be sure to listen to my podcast, The Trashcast.
Where? This is super, super novel.
On wherever you listen to podcasts.
You absolutely should.
It's everywhere.
It's everywhere.
And you should.
And your Instagram, you have to follow him on Instagram.
It's legendary.
It's amazing.
At Tommy Link for all the looks.
Yes, the looks. I've been getting a little lazy with the looks, but, you know,
but embrace it's someone's first time at your Instagram.
You have to do a deep dive.
You have to live your life. You're in, you're out. You do what you like.
Do what you want.
You give it to them when you feel like it.
And don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to
Ask
Rana.
Please don't forget.
On iTunes.
5 stars only, please.
Rana
hashtag.
Only accepts 5 stars. And also, you can follow us on Ask Rana everywhere and email us at askrana@gmail.com. So until next time.
Kiss, kiss. Thank you so much for being here.
You're wonderful.
Thanks for having me.
Hi, I'm Dr. Lori Watson and the co-host of 4Play.
I'm your co-host, George Fowler, former firefighter, your couple's therapist who loves to talk about sex.
Woo, let's discuss everything about the best sexual techniques to building your emotional intimacy, which is really necessary for great sex.
We bring sound, concrete tools to reframe your relationship problems and learn how to fall in love again and feel desire.
Listen to 4Play Radio on the iHeart app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.